Well, it is a pleasure and a blessing to be with you all this morning on the first week of our summer study. This morning, I will be briefly sharing with you, and we'll be looking at together the life of Jochebed. But before we do that, let's pray again. Lord, we just come before you this morning, God, and Lord, I am thankful, Lord, and humbled by this opportunity, God. And Lord, I pray that you would truly speak through me this morning. Lord, I know the things that you have worked into my heart. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just give me the ability, God, to communicate your heart, Lord. And as we prayed earlier this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to just forget the things that you wouldn't have me to say and bring to my mind the things that you would have me to say. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified this morning as we look at your word, Lord, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a friend of mine asked me the other night if I was excited about this morning, and all I could think about, I felt bad, but I was like, I don't know if excited is the right word because I'm really nervous, and I'm still really nervous, but I am excited because God is faithful, and it's not about me. It's about him, or I wouldn't be up here. How many of you know who Jochebed is? Yeah, a lot of you. That's good. She's the mother of Moses and Aaron and Miriam. The Bible doesn't talk that much about her, but the impact that she made was huge. When Sabrina asked me to pray about sharing on Jochebed, my first thought, I have five daughters, and so over the last 16 years, I have read a lot of children's Bible stories, watched a lot of children's DVDs and even videos. My oldest is 16, so we used to watch videos. And when I thought of Jochebed, one particular video came to mind. I think it was the Beginner's Bible. And I just had this picture in my head. It was like lighthearted music playing in the background. She happily made a little boat for her little baby. And as she sent her baby away, he was giggling and cooing. And probably not exactly the way it happened. I understand we don't want to traumatize children, but it probably downplayed what she really went through. She's first mentioned in the Bible, and not even by name, in Exodus chapter 1, actually chapter 2. And if you read on to chapter 6, then you can read about the lineage of Moses, and that's when you first see her name mentioned. And one other time in Numbers, I believe. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Exodus chapter 1. Here we'll get a quick idea of what was happening when Jochebed came onto the scene. Living in Egypt, these were very hard times for the Jewish people. All of Joseph's generation and the favor that they found had passed away, and the memory of them for the most part. And the present king at the time was a cruel taskmaster. He feared the Jewish people, and therefore he plotted against them. And his plan was to keep them from taking over. He was very fearful of his position. And he obviously saw God's hand on these people and knew that they were to be feared. So let's start. Actually, we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. probably pronouncing those wrong, but, and he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and they give birth before the midwives even come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And a man of the house of Levi, on to chapter 2, took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived, and she bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. I think it's funny that they mentioned that he was beautiful. Like, what would they have done if he was not beautiful? But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And I'm just going to interrupt myself one more time. When I got to this part, I even called my husband over, and I was like, read this with me. What does this mean? Did she not put him in the boat and push him off like we pictured? We pictured him just like going down the river. And it says that she put him in the reeds. Obviously, we know that that was in the water. It was a gentler way for him to move along the river, or maybe he just sat in one place. But it was actually kind of a relief. I thought, well, that sounds a lot safer. when our daughter Madison was 2, one of the first songs she sang was about baby Moses drifting down the River Nile. And I was like, is that even true? Did it happen that way? But the point is, she put him in the boat, she made it with her own hands, and she let him go. His sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter once again, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew you out of the water. The reason that I started back in chapter 1 is that one of the first things that I wanted to point out was the advantage that Jochebed had of seeing the faith of the midwives. In verse 17, we read, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them to do, but saved the male children alive. How we need encouragement as other women. We need to make sure that we have other women in our lives that will encourage us when our faith begins to falter, because it will. And we need to be that to other women as well. It's so very important. When Jochebed was faced with these terrible circumstances, she did not give up. She could have acted in instant defeat and given her baby over to the enemy to be killed. She was more than likely very afraid of what would happen to her if she didn't obey the king's command. But she, like the midwives, feared God more than she feared man. And it seems obvious to me that during those 3 months that she had with her baby, that she was on her knees praying, seeking the Lord for some solution to the circumstances that she had found herself in. Oftentimes our circumstances seem impossible and they're out of our control. They don't just seem out of our control, they really are out of our control. Her options were not great. But just when she could hide Moses no longer, he probably started getting, 3-month-old babies tend to get really noisy. They find their voice, and she was probably like, okay, I cannot hide this kid any longer. Just then the Lord showed her what to do. And his timing is so perfect. At that point, she gave her most precious treasure into the hands of God. And just as a side note, as a mom of five, I can say that I honestly love all my kids the same with perfect equality. However, it would take a lot more faith to send off a helpless 3-month-old that's completely dependent on you than it would, in a sense, one of my children that could talk or walk or understand. To an older child, I might have said, paddle on over to Pharaoh's daughter, you know, maybe be on your best behavior, look cute, or look really pathetic. I don't know. I don't know what would work the best, but I would have striven and I would have tried to make it work. And I that's usually a disaster. So the Lord called her to take this tiny, helpless baby and completely surrender him to the Lord. And the turmoil that she must have felt is unimaginable. I can't imagine as a mother. There's an element of sacrifice in anything that the Lord calls us to do. And the turmoil that we sometimes feel during those times, it forces us to press into him and to long to hear from him and ultimately to choose to trust him. Jochebed chose to trust God despite what she must have been feeling. And as women, we are so emotional. I know I am. I know I have 5 daughters. We're all very, very emotional. Recently, one of our daughters was going through something difficult, and I was eavesdropping, and I overheard my husband saying to her, he said, "Don't pray that God would change your feelings, because your feelings, they'll catch up. But pray that he will give you the strength to do the right thing and to trust him despite your feelings." We talk about feelings a lot in our house. And I always remind my girls that God knows our feelings. He cares about our feelings. But he loves us enough to not give us permission to be run by our feelings. They're deceitful. They change. Trusting, obeying, and following God is to be based on faith, not feeling. Jochebed had no idea what would become of Moses when she let him go. This is such a powerful example to me of complete trust. She trusted the child's welfare and future to God alone. When Moses' mother let go of that tiny ark that she made with the care of her own hands, she was giving up something precious. Trusting that God would take care of it and perhaps find a way to give it back to her. But she didn't know. In God's providence, Pharaoh's daughter found baby Moses. That's another thing that with the children's Bible stories and the videos, I kind of always thought they planned that. Like, go on, go find the Pharaoh's daughter. But God planned it. God knew. He knew the exact day that she was going to let her baby go, and she knew exactly where the Pharaoh's daughter was going to be. And he knew it all, and he planned it. And I love that Miriam, her daughter, I love that she came up with the idea of Jochebed actually taking care of her own child. And my daughter, Emmeline, she's probably the one. She's like my Miriam. She's the one that would have thought of that. She's always thinking. She probably saw that her mom was in great distress, had compassion, and was like, I know this lady. She can take care of the baby for you. Like, she thinks that way for us. If someone pops by the house, she's the one that runs around and cleans it. You know, she's concerned for me. I thought that was really, really neat that it was one of her daughters that came up with that idea. Obviously, that was the Lord as well. So Jochebed was given this precious treasure to the Lord, and now she's given more time with him, which she didn't expect. She most definitely used that time to teach him about God. But it was such a sweet example of God's grace. She even got paid to take care of her own baby. It was grace above and beyond. I don't know about you, but the Lord never gives me the details ahead of time when he asks me to do something. There's plenty of things that I would have jumped the gun on if I knew how good they were going to be. I used to always tell my husband, I wish we would have met when we were little, so I would have known you my whole life and not gone through life not knowing you. But the Lord's timing, it's perfect. It would have, we wouldn't have been ready. We probably never would have gotten married. Lost track of where I'm at. But there's also things that I would have run from had I known how hard they would be, or how long that they would have taken, the time commitment that I would be making, if I would have known ahead of time. But I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't give me too much information, because some of those things have been the greatest blessing of my life. So again, when Jochebed entrusted her little treasure to the Lord, she didn't know that this 3-month-old baby would one day be used to deliver her people from years of oppression. And she didn't know that God would use him to be the giver of the law to those same people. But she also didn't know how much he would suffer to get there. One of my favorite things said about Moses is in Hebrews chapter 11. It says that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. She didn't know. She didn't know what would happen to her son, but she knew the one whom she trusted was trustworthy. And there's nothing that God asks us to let go of that he in turn will not take care of. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Jochebed gave her greatest treasure over to the Lord, and he did exceedingly abundantly more than she ever could have imagined, I'm sure. It's important to remember that when we entrust our treasures, our gifts, and our desires to the Lord, that we must not ever take credit for what he does with them. When anything good comes out of our lives, it's so important to give God the glory. The Lord has given me an amazing husband and children by his grace. I did nothing to earn them. He's also used them to lead worship and given them songs that have blessed and encouraged many people. And sometimes people come up to me and thank me for these gifts. And for those of you that know me, you know that I have nothing at all to do with it. I've even had people thank me for songs that my daughters have written, and they know they come from the Lord, but even more so me, I have nothing to do with it. I've maybe like corrected their spelling and grammar a couple times, every time maybe, I don't know, or I'm the one that comes in and says, oh, you know that song? Kind of sounds like that one song that, you know, and then I'll kind of hum a song that I think it sounds like. Just trying to be helpful, and they're like, okay, thanks, Mom. But I've released back to the Lord what he's given me to be used by him when I selfishly want to hold on. There's times that having the girls on stage in front of people, sometimes I just want to protect them, you know, from criticism or any type of ridicule. And I think for the most part, that's not happening. But, you know, there's an element of that where you just want to sit in the back row and hide. But those treasures were never mine to keep in the first place. So had Jochebed lived to see all that the Lord had done, can you imagine if she was like, well, you know, I just have this way. It's the way I made that little boat. I'm really handy with bulrushes. And I dabbed the asphalt and what else was it she put on there? Just in a in a special way. She would remember that God had given her the ability and strength to release her treasure to him. And most likely, she'd instantly remember the turmoil that she felt in doing so. She would have been humbled by what the Lord chose to do. And she would have remembered wanting to hold on. And she would have known that none of it had anything to do with her. Each and every one of us women has a calling to fulfill that only we can fulfill. All of our circumstances are different, and we mustn't compare. Often things don't go according to our plans, and our circumstances force us to do things that we wouldn't choose. Perhaps you are a mom that wishes you could stay home with your children, but because of your circumstances, you have to work. Or maybe you wish you could work, but you have to stay home with your children. You feel like there's a career you're missing out on, or maybe a desire to be married or have children hasn't been fulfilled, or perhaps it has been fulfilled and it's been taken away from you. Like Jochebed, we mustn't give up, no matter how difficult our circumstances. We must trust the Lord with all we hold dear, because he's trustworthy. And his plans for us are way better than our own, even when we can't see it. Letting him have his way in our life, we must give him the glory for every good thing that he chooses to do with our lives. After all, our lives are not ours to keep, and giving him glory is what we were created for. It was neat because last night I had my husband, Scott, look over my notes. Just, I was pretty insecure. It was in the other room. I kept popping my head around. He was like, I'm not done yet. I'm still in the introduction. And he was organizing them and bullet points and all that. I had to get to know my notes again this morning. But he said, what does Jochebed's name mean? And I was like, I don't know. I never even looked it up. So after all this and all that the Lord had put on my heart and knowing how nervous I was, it was so sweet because he looked up her name and he said, yeah, her name means Jehovah is her glory. And I was like, oh, that is so sweet. And it's sweet that I waited till the end to find out, because I was like, okay, Lord, you really put this message on my heart. Lastly, I'm just going to end with this, but three of my favorite verses that always seem to apply. Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then I'm sure you're all familiar with this one, but it never gets old. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then Psalm 37:3-5, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let's pray. Lord, again, we just we thank you for this time this morning that we could spend in your word, Lord, focusing on you, Lord, remembering your love for us, Lord, your faithfulness in our lives, Lord. And you know what each woman here is going through. You know the circumstances that they're faced with, the things that feel impossible, that aren't going the way that they'd expected, Lord, the things that have been required of them, that just seem too difficult. Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen and encourage the heart of each woman here today, Lord. And God, I pray that you would just again remind us how trustworthy you are, Lord. Help us to be an encouragement to one another, Lord. And I pray that whatever you do with our lives, Lord, even though it's unique what you do it with each one of us, God, I pray that we would be like Jochebed, Lord, and that we would give you the glory with our lives, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.